Friends, this series of sermons has been a little bit different in that instead of focusing on various aspects of living the Christian life or understanding the details of the faith that we profess, the focus has been on looking at some books in the New Testament. And this is done with the intention that we might have a clearer picture of what's there for us and might have a greater sense of access to it. Because each gospel presents a personal testimony. It's a word out of someone's knowledge and experience of Jesus Christ, a word delivered with the intention of sharing the faith and encouraging others in it. And of course we understand that these writings were written individually. They only later came to be gathered into a collection that was given the authority of Scripture. Under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it was recognized that these writings were of peculiar value to the Christian community. And as the Old Testament community had had the Scriptures of the Old Testament to refer to and to guide them, so in this new fledgling, still being formed Christian community, these writings that make up the New Testament came to be recognized as God's gift to his people, to lead them, to guide them, to shape their understanding of the faith that was emerging amongst them. And so it is good for us as we look at the New Testament to have an understanding of how it came into being and what it is and what it's intended to serve, the purpose it's intended to serve in our lives and understanding of the faith. And the Gospels, of course, are key to this because here's the heart of it. This is the testimony of four individuals in the gospel records that give us pictures of Jesus Christ. They're not written exactly like diaries or biographies in the traditional sense of the word. They are individuals who shared in one way or another in the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, writing down their testimony of the value of that experience of Jesus Christ to be shared with the world. And this morning we get to Luke. And interestingly, of course, as with many of the gospel writers, we don't have a lot of individual details about his life. We know that he is described by Paul as being a physician, a doctor, a healer. We know from other writings in the New Testament that Luke spent a lot of time with Paul. He was not one of the 12. We're not told about what his personal links with Jesus may have been in the course of Christ's ministry. But he played an important role in helping this Christian faith be shared with integrity and completeness in the Christian community. Now, Luke is not only the author of the Gospel of Luke, but Luke is also the one who wrote the Acts of the Apostles, that history of the first generation of the Christian church. And so Luke is very influential because, in fact, if you were to count the pages, Luke is the author of just a little over a quarter of the New Testament. We sometimes you know, think of Paul and his multiple letters. Luke's writings were fewer in number, but both the Gospel and the Acts fairly lengthy. And so Luke, blessed by the presence and leading of the Holy Spirit, had a significant role in shaping the Christian community's understanding of Jesus Christ and of the way in which that faith took hold in the world in that generation. Luke's a little different too in that he appears to have had a patron, someone who encouraged him, perhaps someone who for whose benefit he wrote. And this person is not particularly identified to us other than by name, and it's interesting. Let me read you just the opening four verses of Luke's Gospel. Luke said, as he began, "Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed." And if you were to look over at the beginning of the book of Acts, you would see that there's a similar reference to Theophilus. Now, the name Theophilus is kind of interesting because it means literally lover of God. And we don't know who this person was. By the context and the way that Luke chooses to describe him, we might form the opinion that he was someone of some status or stature in the world. Not a Jew. A Greek. And Luke writes to fill him in on what he needs to know about the faith. And that provides the context. And Luke says that he went about this in an orderly way, starting at the beginning. And yes, starting at the beginning, if you think about Luke's gospel, where does our account of the birth in Bethlehem, where would we find it in the New Testament? Luke. You know, Luke says from the beginning, I recorded these things. And he doesn't claim to have had first-hand participation in all of them. But what he does suggest is that he went about it in a very meticulous and careful way. And in fact, that the word in the translation of the opening words of the gospel, he uses the word investigate. You know, I looked into these things. And so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. And of course, that was, one might assume that this was initially when penned, handed to Theophilus, but it was obviously also intended to be shared with others, and it gradually was distributed amongst the Christian community. And so that community was blessed, because not only was this man Theophilus, whoever he was, given some personal instruction in the faith, the whole community benefited from what Luke had written. And as I said, this is really the gospel, Luke's gospel is really part one of a two-volume thing, and the Acts of the Apostles form the conclusion. Anyway, the other thing that I've been drawing out in these sermons is that each of the gospel writers has a certain focus. Not one that is exclusive to them, but when we read the gospel, each gospel, we see that there are certain themes that are particularly emphasized in Matthew, and particular themes that are emphasized in Mark, and also in Luke. And John is a little unique. We'll get there next week. It's slightly different than the other three. But Luke's account Luke has a lot of material in his gospel that you won't find in the other gospels, particularly from those times in the latter part of Christ's ministry before his arrest and crucifixion. And one of the themes that shines through fairly repeatedly in what Luke includes are things that emphasize the humanity of Christ, that he was truly human. Right from the very beginning, right from that account of the birth in Bethlehem, right through to the events surrounding the arrest and crucifixion, the emphasis falls on the fact that Jesus Christ, though, yes, the divine Son of God, the Messiah of the Lord, also, uniquely so, came in human form and endured the things that are part of being a human being, and that he consequently understands who we are and how we feel. And that's an important thing for us to grasp as we deepen our understanding of Jesus Christ. He is not someone who is distant to us. I picked a couple of hymns to sing this morning that stress that. What a friend we have in Jesus. You know, the personalness of it. And that's God's intention in the sending of his Son, who comes in human form, that we can identify with this one because he knows us. He experienced the same things that we experience in life. He understood pain. He understood disappointment. He understood frustration. He understood abandonment. Because those were all things that in one way or another, in the course of his life and ministry, he experienced. And so Luke helps us grasp this human side of Jesus Christ. And if you were to read through the Gospel of Luke, kind of leaving other material on the faith aside, one thing that would shine through in what Luke had to tell you about Jesus was that he was a human. He knows us. He feels as we do. And yes, he lived a life without sin, but nevertheless, he endured all the things that go with being human. Aside from that. And that gives us a deep bond with Christ. And that is part, of course, of what we are learning about God's care, because when God chooses to send the Messiah, God does so by sending his Son in human form to bond with us, to represent us, and to be our Redeemer. And yes, Christ even endured the experience of death. His death was followed by resurrection. But there is nothing glamorous or, how would I put it, pretty about the things that happened to Jesus in his arrest and crucifixion. He experienced human brutality and injustice, and he did that for us. And he did it, you see, with the intention that we, as he rose victorious over death, might share in that victory and triumph, and that we might be assured that we are intended to share in it. So this human side is important, because otherwise, you know, Christ can become this distant figure, reverenced, but not closely identified with. But he came to be our Messiah, the one who knows us and in whose presence we find hope and strength. So, as you read in Luke, keep your eyes open for those strands of the story that he chooses to include, because they give to us an important dimension of our knowledge of God's grace in Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, this is good news. Take it home with you. Ponder it. Rejoice in it. Thrive on it. Thanks be to God.